As I was reflecting on the gifts of the Magi, their importance, their significance, their metaphorical representations, right? The very presence of the Magi with the infant Jesus foreshadowing our invitation as Gentiles, the very reason that you and I get to be here. God invited Gentiles into this new thing he was doing. But I couldn't escape that there was some anger that bubbled up within me at the multiple recent acts of violence toward our Jewish siblings around the country, many of which have been done in the name of Jesus. And I don't understand how the followers of a Jewish rabbi who had Jewish parents and Jewish disciples could inspire and commit violence against the very people God called to be the source of blessing for the world. But it also kindled in me a curiosity as to why Christians tend to be fearful of people of other religions. And I think fear is often rooted in is often the root of hatred and misunderstanding. And that's what leads to violence. It's not to say that people from other faith traditions do not have reciprocal attitudes toward us, but that it's our responsibility as beneficiaries of a tradition that God expanded through Jesus to include the Magi and us to better understand major world religions, so that we can stand in solidarity with peace-loving, spirit-minded people while still owning and not compromising our own beliefs. Since we just finished a sermon series during Advent by Adam Hamilton, I thought this would be a really good time to do Adam Hamilton's study on Christianity and world religions. And so I've turned his study into a sermon series, and we'll be following this for a few weeks together. Together, we're going to look at Hinduism, Buddhism, Islam, and Judaism. And then we'll look at Christianity itself. So I wonder how many of you went to high school with someone who was Buddhist, Muslim, or Hindu, Jewish probably, but any of the others? Yeah. Did you ever really talk about it, though? Yeah, I went to school with several people, who were from these other traditions, but we never really talked about how they were different from us, right? Coming from the majority, we had a lot of assumptions, I would call them Christian-centric assumptions, about people and their holidays and their values and their traditions. And so we didn't really talk about it with each other. Those of younger generations than me, though, have increasing experience with people of other faith traditions as our world and even Maine is becoming much, much more diverse. And now we are all immersed in the effects of globalization, right? On many different levels, including the way people tend to divide over religion. Just last month, India's parliament passed a citizenship naturalization law that requires everyone to take a religious test in order to become a citizen. And it was a promotion of their Hindu-centric agenda of this particular government and an attempt to exclude the minority Muslims in their country from becoming citizens. Pakistan is primarily a Muslim country and India primarily Hindu, and they continue to fight over Kashmir. In the Holy Land, Muslims and Jews continue to engage in armed struggle for land that they both believe belongs to them. Christians and Muslims and Jews have been in conflict since the Crusades right through to today. So the first question to ask is, why are there so many religions, so many expressions of faith? Some believe that this multiplicity of forms of religious expression is proof that there is no God. That if there were a God, there would be one clear path, and we would all just follow along. But on the other side of the coin, what if the fact that human beings across time and cultures and around the world have had religious thoughts and feelings and yearnings and questions and experiences? Every culture, every continent, all time points to the reality of God. Though the details might be different, the fact remains that there are shared universal experiences that we have as human beings attributed to the divine. We all have different words to express it. We all know that we can experience the same event, you and I, and have a very different description and explanation for it. Think about the last time you went to the movies with a friend or talked to a sibling about a memory from your childhood, right? And you're like, we rarely remember things the same way. Some details are more salient for one, completely missing for another, or directly opposed to each other, and we wonder, were we at the same movie? Did we really grow up in the same family? Because that's not how I remember it, right? Well, isn't it possible that experiences of God could be like that? Perhaps the reason I experience God the way I do is because I was raised in a predominantly Christian culture. If I had been born in India, I would probably be a Hindu. I would probably use that tradition to shape my understanding of my encounters with God through the shared language and tradition of my family of origin. I would hope that I would be very devout. The beautiful thing is in the way that God works through those traditions and contexts to teach us like children. Remember, I don't care how old you are, we are all God's children, and there is so much that we just don't know, and God is always trying to teach us. Children are not born with all of the information they need in order to become functioning human beings. Instead, they have certain yearnings and instincts, and they'll spend their whole lives, we spend our whole lives learning and gaining more information about the world around us. The classic definition of theology is faith seeking understanding, the lifelong task of making sense of our experiences of God. As the generations pass and the world changes, so God also reveals a little more to us every time. Think of our Judeo-Christian history. Abraham came from a family of polytheists. And yet, God was revealed to Abraham in such a way that monotheism became the faith of his descendants. That was never held against Abraham, that he was raised a polytheist. He didn't know any better, and so God showed him the way. Certain ethical imperatives that were lost on Abraham were revealed in the time of Moses as God further clarified God's will for the people through the Ten Commandments and then the laws that Moses developed from there. God sent judges and kings and prophets to guide us through time. And some of it worked, and some of it didn't, right? And so eventually, God came to us in the person of Jesus to reveal even more about how God wants to be in relationship with us, with all of creation. It's like we're given hints along the way, hints that we can handle at that time. Today, God often uses science, I believe, to speak to us, to reveal the inner workings of creation, to expand our understanding of the magnitude of the universe and galaxies, to inspire us to heal diseases of the body and of the mind and the earth. There are about 7.7 billion people in the world. That's as of April. And 2.4 billion Christians, 1.9 billion Muslims, 1 billion Hindus, 500 million Buddhists, and 14.5 million Jews. That accounts for about 6 billion people. Another 1.2 billion consider themselves atheist, agnostic, or non-religious, which are three very different things. And that gives us about 500,000 people worldwide who mostly follow their ethnic religions or even state religion, as in China, right? So in our world, Christians make up about a third of all the people in the world. But that means that two-thirds of the world's people are not Christian. Yet, most of them, billions of them, are faithful adherents of their religions. They long to know the truth, just like you and me. They seek to serve God as they understand God. It seems fair to say that God knows each of them by name, knows every hair on their head, knows their stories, and has heard every prayer they have prayed, even if those prayers have not been directed to God by name. If we truly love our neighbor, truly love our neighbor, don't we want to know about the most meaningful aspects of their lives, namely their relationship to the divine? Don't we want to hear their stories, their values? Just as God has revealed hints throughout history in order to teach Jews and Christians, so God uses familiar terms and symbols to connect with those who are outside of the Judeo-Christian faith. And I point to Scripture for this. Look at the story of the Magi. These wise men were magicians, sages, astrologers. They were probably Zoroastrian priests from the Persian Empire, which is modern-day Iran. Zoroastrianism had a profound impact on Judaism's development, including their belief in monotheism, things like angels and demons, and the devil. They didn't have those before they met the Zoroastrians. They also share many of the same moral teachings as Judaism. It's highly unlikely that there were only three priests. Three gifts, yes, but three priests would not have dared to travel unaccompanied across hundreds of miles of desert, especially not with such valuable gifts in their possession. And nowhere in Judaism does God ever tell people to follow a star. This is the only place in Scripture. Yet here we see God giving a sign to these priests of another faith, speaking through their own religious traditions in the way that they were accustomed to seeking God through the heavens. There are other places in the Bible where God reaches out to people who were not Jews, but who were seeking God. This is our invitation, to begin exploring how God is reaching out to those of other faiths, so that we may be able to avoid and speak out against violence between any of God's children. Hamilton and many theologians, including myself, in mainstream denominations, take what's called an inclusivist perspective on world religions. That doesn't mean that we believe they're all right. Simply put, we maintain that God is at work among all people everywhere. God has not written off anyone. God is actively involved in their lives, just as in yours and mine, and works through divine mercy and wisdom and grace, even through their particular religious practices, all in order to draw them closer. God accepts the intent of their hearts, that they are yearning and searching, reaching for God. The inclusivist Christian believes that Jesus Christ is the definitive revelation of God. Therefore, all other religions must be measured in the light of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, which are the source of good news for all people. So, like I said, the inclusivist believes that, cannot believe that all religions are right. The places where we differ, we face the fact that someone must be closer to the truth. And a Christian inclusivist would then seek the gospel for guidance in these areas. And so as we go through this sermon series, I want to tell you that that's the perspective that I'll be taking as we look at these different religions. We're going to take some very broad brush strokes. So please don't think I'm going to teach you everything you need to know about Buddhism. But we're trying to make an effort at understanding the major religions that dominate the human experience in this world. We'll seek the similarities we share and examine the places where we differ. Above all, we'll listen for what God has to say to us to deepen our own faith and help us to better connect with our neighbors with the peace, joy, and love that Christ revealed to us. I hope you'll join me on this journey with an open mind and an open heart, for there's nothing to fear when we're seeking the truth about God. Thanks be to God. Amen.